We're here at Fringe Central. It's just over halfway through the Fringe. The Wii Review. Okay, I'm joined by...
Robert Peacock, the editor of Wii Review.
Now, the Wii Review is no longer Wii, as in the Scottish version of that word.
No, I suppose not in terms of the numbers of reviews we're doing and the sort of reach we've got now. No, we're not as Wii as we used to be. No.
And it was important, wasn't it, to have a Scottish-based... voice at this Fringe, because it didn't really have it in terms of the Scotsman it did, but in terms of wide coverage it didn't.
No, I mean there's sort of specific things like Tom Dibson's All in the Theatre that's looking at theatre side of things, but doing the whole gamut of all the different arts, I don't think there really is anyone apart from us that's just a sort of dedicated Scottish arts website.
So you've been there from maybe the start. How's it grown?
The site? Yeah. Well, we've just sort of every 6 months, every year, we've sort of stepped it up a little bit. So we've added a new section. We're gradually growing the group of writers. So every year for the Fringe, we take on 3 or 4 extra writers. Most of them sort of stick around with us afterwards for doing year-round reviewing. So it's just sort of steadily built. And then over the time, some of our more experienced writers, I've made them editors of certain sections because they've got a lot of expertise in that area. And then they've brought other people on and brought us into new areas as well. So it's just sort of organic growth, really.
And I saw you on a panel about responsible reviewing here at the Fringe, and you spoke very strongly about making sure that even as it grows, it keeps an ethos that, it isn't going to do any harm to anyone at the Fringe.
Yeah, I mean, we try very strongly to keep sort of our principles about us. We've got a writer's guide that everyone gets that has, detailed explanation of what we expect from our writers, what to do, what not to do, because we recognise that performers are coming here, they've dedicated their year to putting a show together, and then to come here and then just get a 100-word dismissive review, which isn't really justified, it's not fair to them, and it's not what we expect of our writers. So I'm sort of quite passionate about making sure we get it right. We can't be nice about everybody. We've got to criticise somewhere where we see it's there's a legitimate criticism to make, but we don't want to we know people's careers are at stake, so we sort of take that responsibility seriously.
So what's the typical style for a Wii Review review?
It's 300 to 400 words minimum. We allow more if there's a lot to say, especially if it's a 5-star review or a 1-star review. We expect people to justify it a lot more. Or if there's a particularly controversial angle and stuff, we ask people to expand on it. So it's 300 to 400 words minimum. And it will be a little bit of a summary of what was in there. But then analysis, we want people to pick out 2 or 3 points, either strong points or negative points, that they can then elaborate on and then make a sort of conclusion as to what the general idea was.
And I like the sound of that, because obviously Fringe Review were about at least 350, and it can go a lot higher. And that's broken an old mould, really, that's coming back again because, paid journalism is paying less, of the one-paragraph review that can dismiss or praise a show without any real description that helps the reader.
Yeah, I think, paid journalists are obviously under a lot of pressure, and the publications themselves are under a lot of pressure to get clicks and things like that. So that lends itself to sort of fast-paced, shorter journalism, which... it might help with the visitor figures and things, but it doesn't really help the artists. It doesn't really help the audiences to get a good grasp of what the show's about. So we try and make sure we maintain a sort of decent minimum standard.
Now, a few questions that people, they really won't know unless they were doing it. What's a typical day at this mad Fringe for you as the editor? Start at 6 a.m. if you want.
Yeah, well, it is. It's sort of getting up at 6 a.m. I've got a 1-year-old daughter as well, so that sort of helps me get up in the morning. So I'll be doing editing 4 or 5 hours in the morning, publishing the things that have come in overnight. So there's a team of 8 editors, and between us we publish everything, but everything gets checked by an editor, including me. So I'll be publishing a lot of reviews. I'll be going through my inbox, which every day there's 100 new emails, press releases and things like that. Hopefully I can get out about lunchtime to start doing my own reviewing.
Because it's really important that you don't just stare at a screen all Fringe, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it does happen. There's always a couple of days where I just can't leave the house, but I try and get out by about lunchtime, see 3 or 4 shows myself. This year I've been trying to go and support local performers just by buying a ticket and going and seeing it myself, not for review purposes as well, and for enjoyment. I'll go and buy a ticket to see things that other reviewers have rated really highly that I just want to see for myself.
And do you have a vision that this isn't just going to keep growing and growing because you can't stop? Is there a sort of a point where you're going to go, right, we're satisfied?
The website or the Fringe? Yeah. I think we're at the limit now where I can't really do any more. So I think we've grown as big as we could possibly grow in the current format. Yeah. And just keep it at a manageable level. We've got no aspirations to, you know, review everything at the Fringe, because we'll never be able to get there. So.
But the Fringe keeps celebrating its own growth, and that's kind of pulls us dangerously towards just growing with it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. There's always more stuff to review, but it's just a matter of like what's sustainable and what's manageable. And like all of us are doing it unpaid, and we get a limited bit of advertising in to pay for the hosting and things. So under that structure, there's no way we can possibly do any more than we're doing at the moment.
And for people that don't live in Scotland year round, what is the kind of theatre and comedy scene up here? Is it, can I find something every night to see in Edinburgh the rest of the year?
Yes, you can. A lot of people are quite negative about Edinburgh, and like it, but I think it punches above its weight, especially like the number of theatres there are. Obviously, you've got the Festival Theatre, Lyceum, places like that. But there's a lot of smaller theatres, a lot of smaller theatre groups doing stuff all year round. There's great. People slag off the music scene as well, but there's a lot of people out there trying to put stuff on, a lot of really good spoken word nights. Obviously, the film stuff ticks on year round, so there's never any shortage of stuff for us to cover. We're always sort of stretched to limit, even year round.
And finally, if somebody was thinking, oh, I'd like to write for you guys, apart from the official stuff, we'll go to the website. What kind of profile does a reviewer need to have to be able to write for the Wii Review?
Well, we like to see examples of previous work. So if they've written before, if they haven't written before, if they just want to write a couple of sample reviews to show us they know what they're talking about. We're happy to sort of bring on younger writers who maybe haven't got much experience. We also look for older writers who maybe haven't reviewed before but have a great depth of experience in the arts and know what they're talking about. So we have the full age range from like 17 to over 70s writing for us. It's just a question of like, can you view a piece of art, analyse it and write it up in a decent way? That's the kind of thing we're looking for.
And when you look at it all for a particular Fringe at the end, you must feel proud.
Yeah. You know, there's always something that we've discovered something, or we've given someone a really good review that they weren't expecting. So there's that sort of positive, like we've championed something. That's what I always look for. And it's always quite satisfying when you see some of the things that we've picked out that then go and get nominated for awards. Or for instance, Lost Voice Guy this year, like we've reviewed him 3 times at the Fringe and we've given him a good review this year. And it's great to see him now selling things out. And he's selling out because of Britain's Got Talent, not because of our reviews. But it's nice that we were there to see him when he was on his way up. So that's very satisfying as well.
Now, thanks for talking to us. I've always wanted to say this on an interview. That was the Wii Review, talking to a Fringe Review. Oh, I buggered it up. Thank you.